Can we give the Lord a hallelujah this morning? He is worthy. Come on. He is worthy. This morning, let's go to the Lord in prayer as we get ready to break this word open. God, today I just ask you for your strength in each of us, Lord. And I pray, God, that hope is restored in hearts. I just pray your strength, your word, God. Your word is the underpinning. It is the foundation under our feet in which we stand. It is what stops our world from shaking, though a world shake around us. Your word, God, is the true foundation. No man can take that. No man can destroy that. But God, may our hearts never doubt who you are, your word, your promise to all humanity. Your word says you'll never see the righteous forsaken. And I pray, God, that our hearts are stirred to be the people that you've called us to be. We can't improve ourselves, but we can only surrender to you. And when we surrender to you, our lives are embraced with the promises of your holy word. And I pray that today, in the matchless name of Jesus, amen. We talked about last week having self-control and living in a culture, looking at a culture that don't have much self-control at all. Helen Keller could figure that one out. And I want to go back to this scripture in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. But the fruit, again, that is singular. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires. We all have desires. We all have some of the desires we have in years past. If you're a Christian, you can look back at them and go, what was I thinking? What was I thinking? But the fruit, in order for a fruit, if I pulled a bunch of little apples off of the tree that was about the size of the end of your thumb and told you I had a bunch of apples for you to make you an apple pie, how many takers would I have? But if I showed you a good box of apples, good, fresh, shiny, awesome apples, how many takers would I have? I mean, yeah, that's right. So in order for fruit to produce, it takes time. It hangs on the tree, and it becomes nourishment. They say an apple a day keeps a doctor away. Oh, Lord, I ain't eat enough of them. But we have to understand what God is building is inside of the heart of a man. And God builds that. It can't be produced by anything we accomplish on our own, because if we accomplish it on our own, we're not getting anywhere. It's not nourishment for ourselves. God is at work on the inward parts of a man. Amen? And then our heart begins to manifest the goodness of God. And if it's going to manifest the goodness of God, I promise you, somewhere through the line, you've done some long suffering. Some days, sometimes, we have to go through a span of time of long-suffering and not understanding and wondering, God, where are you? God, what are you doing in my life? But, Lord, I need you, and I need you now. We live in a society and a culture that's created that. Let me have it now. You can go to Burger King and have it your way right away at Burger King now. That ain't even real beef. You don't suffer long at Burger King. You can get it right away now. We pull to the drive-thru. We can get our money out of an ATM at the drive-thru. Just tap in a few numbers, click, 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 and it spits out money. We have live in a culture of now. And all of the things that are now in culture on the external side of man, I mean, we get in a hurry. You ever watch it when everybody goes to the parade downtown at the Christmas parade? They start 2 hours before the parade starts getting to the parade. And they lining up and they sit in their chairs. They bring their hot cup of coffee and a thermos and hot chocolate, and they share and they're a joyous time. But soon as that parade is over and Santa Claus has done the last little deal, everybody jumps up and runs like, we got to get the heck out of here. And they take off running like right now. Because we live in a now society. But what God is producing in each of our hearts as believers don't come now. It takes time. In order for God to produce in us the love that He intends for us to have, it's not a love the world has. It's a love that God has. In order for Him to produce that in us, it takes us surrendering to Him, His joy, His peace, His long-suffering, His kindness, His goodness, His faithfulness, His gentleness. And then all of that, I shared that with you last week, it's like the skin on the apple. I look at self-control as being the skin on the apple. Self-control keeps all of these things intact because the fruit has matured. When a believer wants to walk in the elements of his fruit or his attributes, it's because, and when we don't want to walk in the attributes of his fruit, it's because of a loss of consciousness. And that's what society is producing, is a loss of consciousness. There's no conscience anymore. And the state of being, the definition of consciousness is a state of being awake and being aware of one's surroundings. See, that's how the foundation that's underneath us, when we're grounded and settled in the hope that God has for each of us as a believer, when the culture is decaying, and this is what I'm wanting to encourage you in today, when the culture is decaying, that you stand. Because God has given us the ability through Christ Jesus and His internal work, the ability to stand is right there, unmovable. Unshakable, because He's been producing in you the fruit. We can walk outside and there's lots of trees outside. Did y'all grandpa have an apple tree growing up? My grandpa had that apple tree and it was right out there. I don't know what it is about an apple tree and a little boy, but a little boy wants to climb Papa's apple tree. That'll get you a tearing up like you ain't never had. My grandpa said, you can go out there and climb any tree in the yard, but you stay out of my apple tree. Why was the apple tree so inviting? I'll tell you why. For me, because the limbs were closer to the ground. They were not so big and round, and they was just right to crawl all up in the top of it, and then you break one of them off. And boy, did that cause trouble. But you could go climb any tree in the yard, but stay out of the apple tree. Why? Because it bears fruit. Because grandma could make some mean apple pies. I mean some apple pies, my favorite kind. And without the fruit, if the tree's destroyed, it can't bear the fruit. But when we lose our consciousness, it's a state of, the definition of that is a state of being awake, being aware of one's surroundings. It is the fact of awareness by the mind of itself and the world. What's going on around me? I want to encourage you today, though this world rages and do what it does, the world is going to do what the world is going to do. We can even look at this world and question God. God, why? Where are you? Why is everything so upside down? Let me tell you why things are so upside down. Because God gave you the right to choose. And you choose which path you're going to take. Narrow is the way that leads to righteousness, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. When we see it, we can start recognizing all of this is going on in our culture, but the believer, when God has produced inside of us His attributes, we're not shaken by it. I want to encourage you in that today. Jeremiah 23, verse 16. I want to share this scripture with you, and I'm going to talk just a little bit about that. It says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make worthless, they make you worthless. They speak a vision of their own heart, not from the mouth of the Lord." If you ain't ever read the book of Jeremiah, I challenge you to go read it, because it will explain to you exactly where America is today and the world. The king had created his own prophets to carry out his agenda. They weren't prophets of God. They were his prophets. He gave them the vision. It was not a godly vision. It was his vision. And it was a vision of destruction. It was a vision that was destroying a culture. Sounds like fake news, don't it? So when we watch the news today, everybody just, we talk about, why do we get together and talk about the news? When I was a little boy growing up, that same grandpa that I'm climbing in his apple tree, it was at 6 o'clock in the evening, it's time to sit down and be quiet. The news is on. Didn't you hate that? Now look what we do. Be quiet. The news is on. Trustin was with me last night at the house, and I got the TV remote, and he said, "You're not watching the news, are you?" I had to get tickled. "No, we ain't watching no news." So when you watch that, it starts creating what's inside of us. It creates how we respond to the culture. It creates our thought pattern. And it leaves us feeling like with hopelessness. It leaves a hopeless feeling. And those are not God's attributes. And when we spend more time letting what is going on in this world infiltrate our mind and destroy the hope that God has for every one of us, we wind up not being the disciples God has called us to be. You're the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hidden. You're the salt. And when the salt ain't good for nothing, it's cast out and trod under the foot of man. We have hope today in Jesus when we live a life surrendered to Him. It's time that the church start coming out of their closet and manifest the greatness of God to a generation that has no hope, because the fruit is alive. Come on, give Him praise in this place. But the prophets in Jeremiah's time, Jeremiah was a prophet of the Lord. And Jeremiah would go to him, "How would you like to be the one now?" If you go read Jeremiah 29:11, he says, "I know the thoughts I think towards you. Thoughts of giving you a hope and a future, not a destruction." And you know where Jeremiah was when the Lord told him that? He was in prison. And why was he in prison? Because he spoke the truth. He spoke the word of the solid foundation of the promises of God, and the king didn't like it. And they beat the mess out of him and threw him in jail. And in Jeremiah 29:13, he says, "I know the thoughts I think towards you, thoughts of giving you a hope and a future." And I'm wanting to see a hope come alive in the church. I want to see hope come alive in Athens, Texas, because the church chose to walk out and produce the hope of God because of what's inside of them. You'll never become a mature apple if you fall off on the ground too early. You can't be an apple when you're sour. Are y'all with me this morning? This is what Jesus said. Flip over here to Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. And you hold your place over there in Galatians if you got your Bible and walking through that. We'll be going back. But Jesus says, Matthew 7:15, he said, "Beware of false prophets, fake news. He said, beware false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. And then he says this, he says, you will know them by their fruit. And I've heard this oftentimes said, even in my childhood growing up, Christians using the phrase, I'm a fruit inspector. We're not fruit inspectors, because that produces a heart of judgment. We're not fruit inspectors. Jesus said, you will know them by their fruit. If I show up here with a big old bushel box of apples about the size of your thumb, and I set them out here, boy, I got y'all something good today. I got you some apples. Y'all please make yourself at home till I'm going out the door today. You know what y'all going to do? Y'all going to walk right on by and go, that dude has lost his mind. Did you ever get one of Grandpa's apples that had made it a little past the thumb size and got about this big around and it fell off? He told you not to pick the apples. You didn't do that, but the one that fell off on the ground and it's still firm and ain't got a rotten spot in it, and you pick that up and eat it. Then you eat another one of them, and you eat another one of them. They ain't good. They kind of got that sour thing, but there's something about kids and sour. They like it. And then if you eat about three of them, you got an upset stomach. Time for some Pepto-Bismol. But you couldn't get nobody else to eat that. And what we've tried to do in American culture is feed them something. We became fruit inspectors and we created a heart of judgment in the church and didn't walk in the fullness of God because the fruit wasn't mature in our own life. We're not fruit inspectors. Jesus said, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. And he's talking about the Christian people here, the Pharisees. He said, you will know them by their fruit. He said, do men gather grapes of thorns and of figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit, it is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. We start knowing who Christians are because of their fruit. I got an apple here. I want to show you something. I'm going to cut it open. I'm going to make a little bit of a mess. So if you take the apple, the skin is the self-control. You cut that skin off, you lay it down, it starts looking like this right here. Because I cut a little piece off of the skin of the apple. And it starts looking rotten. But inside, let's get to the heart of the matter. You see these seed right here? What's a seed in an apple for? To reproduce. If the seed, if the fruit don't grow to a place of maturity when you're eating them little sour, nasty green apples, they ain't got a seed in them that'll reproduce. It's got to mature. See, the word perfection in the Scripture, and I get sick of hearing this in the Christian church, we're not perfect. And then we've created like this license to sin every day. We sin a little every day. I think that is so wrong for a believer, because it's not you anymore. You're to die to yourself. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me, die to yourself. Jesus came to eradicate sin. What does eradicate mean? Do away with. But when we got this mentality that I can sin a little every day, your fruit ain't mature, my friend. And it's everybody leaving them outside the church going, if that's what I got to live like, I can live like I'm living and not go. I've been to churches and invite folks to go to church and they go to so-and-so, go down there at that church? Yeah. I ain't going down there. You know why? They know the fruit. They know the fruit. Maybe they're not a believer, but they know what ain't a good apple. One bad apple spoils the whole basket. Hello? That's why the church is supposed to have correction. That's why we walk in correction. It's why we walk in direction. It's why I want to encourage you today that the fruit that God wants to produce in you produces something that people want. It produces love, a love not that you can understand, but a love that is birthed in you from the throne room of God. And Jesus said this. He said, you will know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Living proof, there's a devil's hell. There's a devil's hell. And we must live surrendered to the King and allow Him to produce in us His attributes. So I have to ask you, what do you produce as a Christian? The greater question is, what influences your life? People are either influencers or influencees. And I taught my kids this growing up. You're either an influencer or an influencee. And if you're an influencee, you just flow with everything that everybody else does. I call that chameleons. We just change the color in the environment we're in, and we never stand for anything. And I love the song that Aaron Tippin sang. He said, we got to stand for something or we fall for anything. And what we're looking at when we look at the church not impacting the culture as the way the church needs to, but the culture's impacting the church because the church ain't standing on the foundation. Because if you know that you know that you know the love and the joy and the peace and the gentleness and the goodness and the long-suffering of God, you'll have some self-control to go, no, that's not who we are. That's what Jeremiah done. That's why he was thrown in a prison. But we're either influencers or influencees. Does negative and hateful people inspire you and inspire your actions, thoughts, and ways? As Christians, we should run from these kind of people. I want to share with you this scripture in Titus. Titus chapter 1, verse 12, he says this. One of them, a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and lazy gluttons. What is he meaning? Lazy gluttons means they're never full. It is sad that when churches in America destroy themselves because they badmouth each other. And when the church is supposed to edify itself in love, in the love of God. Again, that love has to be birthed in you. And when we don't edify ourselves in God's love, we destroy one another with our mouth. And with our tongue, and with our negative thoughts and ways. But he said, they're evil beasts and lazy gluttons. He says, this testimony is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish feebles and commandments of men who turn from the truth. To the pure, all things are pure. That's when you know that you're on the right foundation. To the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess they know God, but in the works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. So God will not produce in us a rotten, hateful spirit. He produces the fruit to maturity. And when He produces this, people want to be around you. People want what you have. People want what's inside of you because God's been at work producing what he's got for you. Matthew 23. Matthew 23, verse 15. Jesus says this to the scribes and Pharisees. He says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. For you travel land and sea to win one proselyte. And when he is won, you make him twice the sons of hell as yourselves." The Pharisees, Matthew presents Jesus' declaration of judgment to the scribes and Pharisees to say, "Woe to you." Woe to the scribes and Pharisees is to pronounce condemnation to them. These men had rejected the kingdom of heaven through Jesus Christ, and as a result, they were preventing others from receiving him. Look back up at verse 23, verse 13. He said, "But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in." They were blocking the way of salvation. This don't mean they weren't religious, because they were. In fact, they were extremely zealous about their religion and their practices. And they would travel far and wide to make Pharisee converts, make people like me. Do you enjoy gossiping? Do you enjoy hating? Do you enjoy evil speaking? Do you enjoy? And then you create that. And then people begin to follow. And then we see this segregation in church converts or in so-called Christian people that starts pitting sides, when the kingdom of heaven is to walk in the unity of the Spirit of Almighty God. And it can only do that when it becomes mature fruit. You will know them by their fruit. We're not fruit inspectors, but we know them by their fruit and what I don't need to associate with as a believer. And then he even says this. He says, "Let the tares and the wheat grow together." I lived in West Tennessee for a while, and this little farmer, he growed, there's bukus of row crop land there. He farmed over 4,000 acres. He took me out there and he said, "Do you know the difference between tares and wheat?" And I said, "No." He said, "You can see it plain as day out there when you know it." He said, "The tare looks just like the wheat." And he said, "If you'll look, you'll see them about this much higher than everything else in the field. You see that?" And you could look and you could see this thing that looked like wheat this much. But he said, "The wheat leans over. The wheat leans over because it has a heart." And he goes out there and takes one of the tares, and it looks just like wheat, and he busts it open, and there's nothing inside. There's no seed. There's no way to reproduce. There's no way to reproduce. And when the Word of God don't light up our life, when the Word of God is not real to you as a believer, you won't reproduce fruit. But you can produce people just like you, with a bad attitude, with a hateful spirit, with a judgmental spirit. And we'll walk around destroying ourselves because we're not walking in the fullness of Almighty God. He produces internally inside of us what we need. And these people were, the scribes and Pharisees, they were really religious. In fact, they were zealous about their religion and their practices. And they'd traveled to and far to make Pharisee converts. They did so by exhorting others to practice external religion without internal spirituality. They hindered them from true salvation and made them a child of hell, because they could produce judgment against everybody. There's no unity in that, folks. What kind of fruit do you produce? 1 Corinthians 15:33, as Wayne and them comes on. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. For some don't have the knowledge of God. And then he says this, I speak this to your shame. That's what Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. Because if you go read the New Testament and you read the book of Corinthians, Paul was speaking directly to the Corinthian church, and boy, did they have issues. And the reason they had issues was because of their lack of desire to get into the Word of God, which is the foundation of every man, every woman, every child. Here's your foundation. And the more you know about this foundation, the less your world shakes when the world ain't comfortable around you. When the culture's decaying, your culture ain't decaying, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And he produces this. And when you produce this, and then people go, well, how do you make it through this? The reason they're coming to you is because they see your fruit. And then when you begin to share this word and his promises, you're putting the seed back inside God's ground. God produced every living human being. Before you were born, he knew you. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, he knew you. And when we as believers begin to share his word, that seed goes into that person, and then we keep sowing into that. We encourage each other in that, and we, you know what happens? We don't produce people like us. I don't want nobody to be like me, but I want to see people be like Jesus. Because Jesus said in John 14:6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except by me. And he is my foundation. He is my hope. He is my rock. He is my strength. He is my love. He is my joy. He is my peace. This don't look good, me standing here with a knife waving it already. Y'all better get up here. God wants to produce something inside of you in a decaying culture. God wants to produce something inside of you that'll bring glory to his kingdom. And his word says we change from glory to glory. At home, I got a peach tree right now, and I got little peaches as big as the end of my thumb. And I'm excited about them peaches. It's the first year it's produced. Last year, it produced one peach. And I was excited about that peach. And about 5 weeks later, that peach never got past that part. And then it started turning black, and my face went from this to this. Not this year. Not this year. I didn't give up on the tree. I kept working at the root of it. I kept working at the root because it's at the root that it gets its nourishment from. And as it draws that nourishment this year, folks, I'm going to tell you, this one little tree, and I'm not exaggerating, there's over 42 peaches hanging on this tree. And they've made it a little past the size of the one did last year. And along about June, when them things are mature, I'm believing it. I'm going to bring some, and I'm going to show I ain't got one for all of you, and I ain't giving you all my peaches. Guys, I'm telling you, the words I speak to you this morning, God's wanting to fill your heart with a word to a decaying culture that needs some hope. Let them know who you are by the fruit that you've produced. Let God's word produce in you his promise to all mankind. Why did Jesus come, John 3:16, that none should perish, but that everyone should have eternal life? Only through Christ Jesus. We can't produce it in them. All we can do is speak to it, and the seed takes place inside of them, and it begins to happen, an internal working. It's not external. You can't do it from an external point of view. It has to happen on the internal. It happens because the Word of God has taken root inside of you. And the hunger, Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Are you hungry this morning? Come on, stand up.
All my wounds fall.
If you don't know Jesus this morning, I want to meet you down here and pray with you. If you're walking weak in your faith, I want to pray with you. I want to encourage you that God's got a promise for you. God's got a promise for you. God's got a promise for you. And that is that none should perish. Let him produce the fruit in you so that God is glorified.